Our reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of tares in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desires fail. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets.
I'm thankful in the prayer that we just led in that Brother Andrew Phillips was remembered. I just have such great respect, and I'm so thankful that Andrew is with this congregation, and I know he's going to do a tremendously good job preaching in that meeting at Willow Avenue in Cookeville, Tennessee. And I'm also glad to hear that Jonathan is back, spoke to him just a few moments ago, and obviously had a successful trip. Brother Charles Thigpen is also back from that mission trip to India. Good news to hear about Wendell, that he's improving. And so for many reasons, we have a lot to be thankful for this morning, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to study and worship with you this morning. The reading from which our text was taken this morning is attributed to the wise man Solomon. Some of the richest teachings, ideas, are to be found in that great writing from Solomon. They were ideas that were taken not only from his wisdom, but also from life experiences. Pity the person who will not, whether he's a young man or an old man, who will not listen to the advice that's given by others. Doesn't mean that we always have to take the advice after it's been weighed, but to listen to the advice of those who have life experiences, the elders. The elders of a congregation are to be those who are older in years of experience. You remember what happened to Rehoboam when he did not heed the advice of the older men who had counseled his father. The bottom line is he lost his kingdom for the most part. Well, we do well to take the advice of others, and Solomon has given us some good advice here. And among other things, he says to remember. We often talk about the intellect of an individual, the power to reason, the power to understand. But I really don't know of many blessings that God has endowed us with that is greater and can bring more pleasure than the ability to remember. There are some things that we need to remember. There are things we need to forget. There are obviously things that God wants us to remember. There are things that He says that we ought to forget. But God's made us, God has created us with the ability to remember. And as we think about memory and the memory of our own lives, it's somewhat like an art gallery in which hang great pictures, and we can walk through that gallery from time to time and look at the pictures, and it brings back wonderful scenes of days gone by. Some of those scenes are very pleasant. There may be some that hang in that gallery of memory that can bring us torment and can hurt us and our feelings as we look upon them. Someone has described memory as somewhat like a time machine or a magic carpet, perhaps, where we can go back and span time and space and live again some of the great events in our lives, happy, sad events that transpired. Some of those are going to likewise bring us joy, and some of those memories likewise will bring us sadness. But God has made us so that we can remember. In memory, we live again happy experiences. In memory, we can again experience moments of sadness. In memory, we go back to childhood days. Sometimes that brings just wonderful. I remember my grandfather, when he was an old man, saying, "I wish I could have my children back just for a day like they were when they were little." He remembered. And a lot of us who are older can likewise remember not only our own childhood days, but the childhood days of our children. In memory, we live again meaningful moments in our lives. Memory is also somewhat like a recording in which once again we can hear voices that have long been silenced by death. We can remember sweet music from the great artist. Likewise, we can remember the voices of our children and childhood days. Memory, indeed, is one of the great, great blessings with which God has endowed us. And as you read through the Bible, it's very obvious that there are things that God wants us to remember. For instance, He placed that beautiful bow, the rainbow, in the sky. And every time we who believe and know the Bible see that rainbow, and as the people of that day saw it, they remembered something. God said, "I promise you, I'm not ever going to destroy this earth again by a flood." And you know, when we think about some of the tsunamis of the last few years, it's obvious the great power and the force and the destruction that water can have. God said, "I'm not ever going to do that again. Not going to destroy the earth again. And so I put this bow in the sky so that you'll remember that." And there were other things that He wanted them to remember. For instance, He gave them the Passover feast. And that was literally to help them remember how He passed over. As they were in the slavery of Egypt, and God was going to deliver them, and He said, "Now, you put the blood on the doorpost, on the lintels. And on every house that I see that I'm going to pass over." We talk about the death angel, it really says God passed over. But He took the firstborn of the Egyptians. But He passed over. And so He wanted them to remember that. And every time they, as a family, gathered to observe the Passover feast, the parents could tell their children, "This is why we do this. And this is what God has done for us. You need to remember this." And there was also the Sabbath day when He said, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." And the idea was, every time you think of the Sabbath day, remember how we were delivered from bondage in Egypt. It was a time of deliverance. Don't forget what God has done for you. Well, God knew that we could not only remember, but there were times when we would forget things. And so He gave these and many other things that you read of in the Old Testament so that man would remember. After all, God knows the nature and understands the nature of man better than man himself understands it. After all, He created us. He knows what we are and our capabilities. And so He says, "I want you to remember these things." But there are many examples likewise in the New Testament. For instance, there are the words of the Apostle Paul as you read in the 20th chapter of Acts when he said, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said it's more blessed to give than to receive." But Paul was saying to the brethren, and he's saying to us, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus." What a tremendous loss it would be if we could not remember what our Lord has said, what he's taught us. And so a part of our worship every Lord's Day is to take a portion of His Scripture and to remember it. Remember the words of Jesus. Remember the teachings of our Lord. And on another occasion, when Paul was writing to Timothy, that younger preacher, he said in 2 Timothy 2, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead." Timothy, don't forget Jesus. Brethren, don't forget Jesus. And immediately there comes a flood of thoughts and memories to our mind. Perhaps we remember the little babe born in Bethlehem. We remember Jesus. We remember Him when He was just 12 years old and went into the city of Jerusalem with His parents. We can remember Him likewise as He went down to the River Jordan and was baptized of John. We remember Him when we remember Jesus as He overcame the temptations of the devil. We remember Jesus as He healed the hundreds of people. We remember Jesus as He fed the 5,000 and others. We remember Jesus as He walked on the water of the Sea of Galilee. We remember Jesus as He stood before Pilate as he stood before Herod, as he stood before that Jewish council. We remember Jesus as he carried his cross to the place of execution. And we remember that glorious resurrection when he came forth. And so we have a memorial feast. And he's saying to us, you take these emblems and you remember. Remember my body as it died and was resurrected. Remember my death and that I shed my blood for you. And so over and over again, we're encouraged to remember certain events. And when you turn to the writings of the Apostle Peter, you'll find that he said, I'm going to keep saying these lessons. Oh, you've heard them, but I'm going to say them over and over. I'm going to keep repeating them because I don't want you to forget. When I'm dead, you'll still remember the great lessons, the truths that I taught you. And he wasn't ashamed to repeat a good lesson, and he did it often. And I think it's true with most all of us. The things that we hear most often are the things that we remember best. And that's why parents need to teach their children over and over again about the Lord, about God, about His church, about living the Christian life, so that they'll remember those things. And you know, there's a very sobering thought about this matter of memory, and that is that it's going to persist even after we die. Sometimes perhaps we think that when we die, then there's just nothing else. But we'll remember, evidently. You remember in the 16th chapter of Luke, how the rich man was begging Abraham to send Lazarus back to the earth to talk to his brothers. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he's comforted, and thou art in anguish." Obviously, I don't know how much we're going to remember. I don't know what we'll remember. But I think it's very obvious from this passage that wonderful faculty of memory is going to persist even after we die. And so let's remember our Creator. Not only in the days of our youth, but all throughout our lives, remember our Lord. Remember lest we die unprepared. And the memories that will be ours will be those that will bring sadness to the memory of a disobedient life to God. Remember, God gave us life. Remember, God blessed us with the faculty to remember. Remember that He made us a never-dying soul. Likewise, we need to remember that He has provided for us a Savior. Don't forget that. Every Lord's Day, we're to remember that. Remember that He gave us the Bible, not just to put on the shelf or the coffee table, but to read it and to study it. He gave us His Word. He made us members of His kingdom when we were obedient to Him. He promised us heaven. Remember, He promised us heaven. You know, I read something just recently, some statistics, and there's so many more lessons and thoughts that have been presented about hell than about heaven. It seems that we're almost afraid to talk about heaven. We need to remember heaven. Remember that it can be ours. Sadly, however, as you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that after God had done so much for those people and He had encouraged them to remember by giving them those special feast days and other reminders, they did not remember. They didn't remember God. And so He says through His prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 1:3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." Oh, it's sad to think after what He had done, they forgot all about Him. And they were not obedient to Him. But there are many things that memory can do to us. Memory can tempt us. Like the memory of the flesh pots of Egypt, and as the Israelites were on their journey to the land that had been promised, they were out in the wilderness, they remembered what they had left behind. Flesh pots, cucumbers. And there's a parallel in our lives. So often, even after we begin our Christian journey, sometimes we remember the things we left behind in the world, the temptations of the world, the pleasures of sin. It can tempt us to turn our back on the Lord, to go back to those former sinful days. Memory can torture us, as it did Herod. After he had beheaded John the Baptist, it just tormented him, evidently for the rest of his life, as it did the brothers of Joseph, when they remembered what they had done to Joseph, and now here Joseph was ruler over them. They were tormented by that memory. And just think of the torment that Judas felt as he remembered what he had done. And that memory, pardon me, tortured him to such a degree that he went out and hanged himself. And if we're not careful, things of our days gone by, ugly events in our lives, sins in our lives, can torture us as we remember them. I remember Brother Ira North one time telling about a boy who had taken his dog and had gone out hunting, but he never returned. Nobody ever knew what happened to that boy. But years and years later, there was an old man who was dying. And as he lay on his deathbed, he said, "I shot that boy." He said, "You may think I got away with it, but I didn't." He said the boy had walked up upon his still. He had a still out in the woods, and the boy by accident had walked upon the still. And he said, "I shot his dog." And he said, "I can still remember to this day that boy on his knees begging for his life as I shot him. You may think I got away with it, but," he said, "there has never been a day that I have not been tortured. It has racked my sleep. It has racked me for all the days of my life. I did not get away with it." Well, memory can torture us as we remember things in our lives that were ugly and that were sinful. But on the other hand, memory can bring great joy to us, and that's a blessing. It often brought joy to the Apostle Paul. Maybe you can remember with joy the time when you obeyed the gospel and were baptized into Christ, the time that you were born again. Maybe you can remember that great, enthusiastic first love that you had for Jesus and for His church that somehow in the lives of some of us has kind of waned, not as strong a love as we once had for Him. Maybe likewise we can remember pleasant memories of days gone by. You know, old people often live pleasantly in the past. Mother will be 101 in January, and every time I visit her now, she talks about the old days, pleasant days. Talks about her dog that she had when she was just a girl. Talks about many events in her life, and, well, a lot of us as we grow older, they're those pleasant memories of the past, and they bring joy to us. How thankful we are for that. And likewise, in memory, we can profit by the mistakes that we have made. All of us would agree that hindsight is better than foresight. Memory will often keep us from repeating sins and mistakes that we made in days gone by. Memory will help us to do right, to save us from sad experiences. Memory can be a stepping stone to higher things in our lives. But now there are things that we ought to forget. We ought to forget, for instance, the failures of our life. That's not to say that we don't profit by our failures, but there's some people that can never forgive themselves, and they go through life as though they had a ball and chain around their ankle, and they drag that, and they never forget it, and they just can't do much else in life because they can't forget the mistakes that they made. We need to remember them in one sense, but not in the sense that we would allow them to hinder us and keep us from going forward. We need to forget our sins in the sense that God, when we repent of our sins as His children, He says He'll blot them out of His book of remembrance. We need to forget those sins that we committed prior to becoming God's children, forget them in the sense that they hold us back, but to realize that God has blotted those things out, and that we ought to blot them out of our mind as far as being a hindrance to us in living the rest of our life. Be thankful as we remember that the Lord said, "I'll forgive you," and we need to forgive ourselves. Likewise, We need to forget the injuries that we've suffered at the hands of other people. I dare say there's not a one of us in this room that has not at some time or other been hurt by somebody else. Something they said, something they did to us, some way they hurt us. Those are things that you just have to somewhere along the line forget and put behind us, or else they'll likewise drag us down and keep us from ever having any joy or accomplishing much in life. Forget those things, that the injuries that we suffered at the hands of others. There were a lot of things that the Apostle Paul forgot in his life. He called himself the chief of sinners, and he had good right to do so. But he said, I forget those things that are behind. He could forget the persecutions. A lot of us, if we'd been persecuted like Paul, would go around talking about it for the rest of our lives. Paul said, I forgot those things. He forgot the persecutions that he faced. He forgot the sacrifices, and he made great sacrifices. He forgot the sacrifices that he made for the Lord. He forgot the trials that he had to undergo throughout life, and he kept his eyes on what was ahead. He's a good example for us in that respect. Well, memory. Oh, what a blessing it is. But there are things that we do need to forget. But there's a thought that I hope you'll not forget, that I'd like to leave with you this morning and to leave with myself. And that is to remember that though life is sweet, death is sure, and eternity is without end. And if we'll remember that, surely it will help us to come to the Lord and to live His kind of life and to stay faithful to Him. The day's coming when we're going to quit the walks of men. While we're here, we have health, we think it'll go on and on. It won't. You know that. We know it in our minds, but to grasp it. Life is wonderful, but death is sure, and eternity is without end. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who is thinking about their life and about eternity. Maybe you're thinking back to years gone, maybe even to some sins in your life, and you want those things erased. You can have it erased. You can stand just as pure and clean as you were the day you were born. Sometimes a person says, well, my sins are just too bad, too great. Oh, the Lord says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. God has the power to forgive us and to cleanse us. Have you been cleansed? You believe in Jesus. Don't you want to confess Him publicly this morning? Aren't you ready to join into His family, be a part of it? Aren't you ready to have your sins blotted out in baptism and be added to His great, wonderful family, the church? And if there are some of us who are remembering this morning, we're Christians. We obeyed the gospel maybe years ago. But we're remembering this morning some sins in our lives that haven't been forgiven. But we've got a God that said, if you will confess your sins and ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you. What a wonderful blessing. If you need that, if any of us need it, then this would be a great time, a wonderful time, to be with people like this who care about us, to be in the presence of God who said He'll be with us when we come together as His children, to be in a situation like this and to be able to be forgiven and wipe those memories away. If you are ready to do that, you need to do it. Don't you want to come now? Would you come now as we stand and as we sing?